We're learning our high in parashas lexicon, and I want to mention that the shiur this evening is sponsored by David and Naomi Sandel, commemorating the yard site of David's father, Meir ben Yitzchak David HaKohen, the Neshama should have an aliyah, and see nachas ruach, not only from the Torah that we're learning tonight, but from all the Torah, which is brought about by the very chashuv family, and all the gemilas chasadim, and being otzik and tzarchit tzibur, which is part and parcel of what they're involved in. So at the very beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, if you look on page Ayin Hay in the Orach Chaim, so the Orach Chaim calls our attention to a rather unusual phenomenon that's noted by many who go through the Chumash. Hashem really appears to Avraham Avinu out of nowhere, right? And as we're introduced to Avraham Avinu at the end of Parshas Melas, and all of a sudden, like the beginning of Lech Lecha, Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, Lech Lecha me'aretzecha me'la'atecha me'beit avicha. Now, we take this, we don't bat an eyelash when we read this, but if you think about it, from the perspective of Avraham Avinu, it's boom, it's out of the middle of nowhere. All of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to him. The Archaim called our attention to the fact that's very unusual. Tam Shadidah Elav Hashem Kodem Heira'otzlo, Marshal Otto came to Cholan Yisrael. Usually when Hashem speaks to a person for the first time, there is some kind of process through which God reveals himself to the person, and then after revealing himself, then Hashem, so to speak, has a conversation with the person. Right? I mean, take an example from Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu, there's the snap, you know, the burning bush. Hashem reveals himself, whatever that means exactly, but Hashem reveals himself at the snap. Vayiroi lo Hashem. Right? God reveals himself from the snet, and after God has revealed himself, so to speak, he's made an introduction, then he starts speaking. Here, not only do we find that Hashem starts speaking to Avraham Avinu before any type of quote-unquote introduction or revelation, but if you look further in Perek Yud-Bet Pasuk Zion, it says, Avraham Avinu is convinced by Hashem to go to Eretz Yisrael. He picks up, he goes to Eretz Yisrael. And then, Vayera Hashem al Avraham, Hashem appears to Avraham. Right? So, the way the Archaim understands that is that God first spoke to Avraham Avinu back in Haran, when Avraham Avinu is told by Hashem to pick up, leave Haran, and go to Eretz Yisrael. But the introduction, the heroes, you know, the notion of Hashem revealing himself to Avraham Avinu, that only kicks in later, once Avraham Avinu has actually made it to Eretz Yisrael. That's a whole seven psukim, and in real life, it's much later than the seven psukim. It's only afterwards that Hashem, so to speak, shows Avraham Avinu a little bit about himself. So that's odd. You generally speaking, it's the other way around. So right to Orach Chaim, they time them by Gaza. There are two reasons for this. The first answer that Achaim gives is tremendously to the credit of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu did something that no other human being did. He found God. Avraham Avinu, I guess, as the Gemara Nedarim says, was 5 years old, or the Midrash would say he was 3 years old, whatever, you know. He was certainly, however old he was exactly, as a relatively young child, he went searching for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and discovered God on his own. Avraham Avinu discovered God. So if Avraham Avinu finds God, then God can initiate the conversation because, so to speak, they've already been introduced to one another. Avraham Avinu took the initiative in finding God, so now we can dispense with the pleasantries, so to speak, that would characterize the beginning of a relationship. We can cut to the chase and get down to business because we've already been introduced. Right? According to that interpretation, the opening of Lech Lecha, the very startling and sudden opening of Lech Lecha, Vayomer Hashem el Avraham, is to the credit of Avraham Avinu, and it reinforces that tradition which Chazal had, which of course is not in the Pesukim anywhere, that Avraham Avinu was able to discover God on his own at a very young age. Right? Because otherwise, how can one explain the abruptness with which Hashem speaks to Adam and Eve. Apparently they already had a good relationship. They were old friends, kibyachol, by the time Parshas Lech Lecha opened up. Just one shot does the other
hand. Well, maybe you can say that Avram, as a young age, understood that people died before, and the world is still here. So he recognized there must be a higher being, mm-hmm. that they were not necessarily called God at that time. But he recognized there's a higher being. So once he recognizes this already, now the revelation doesn't have to reveal itself anymore.
Right.
Because he already recognized that.
Right.
So now I can speak to you directly.
Right.
So I mean, there is like a higher being.
Right. But I think that's not what I'm saying. In other words, the fact that Hashem just kind of abruptly speaks to Avraham Avinu is to the credit of Avraham Avinu. He, however he did it exactly, he already has, you know, he kibyachol stuck out his hand to give shalom to the Ribbono Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to give shalom to him, you know, before they enter into the conversation together. That's one shot that he says. Oh, Efshar. Or, perhaps one can say it's as follows. Kiliyot Adam Rishon Bakhtusha. Shebatar daro shekazmuhu lo hayo adam sheikir elokusa. The diber yitzo elokim. Well, there, noah Hashem imo beseder there, shlo herosh chinoso elov, ad shebohan oto imekayim zeyrosov. Well, acha shekiyin dabar v'holat lo miarso, oz niglo elov, siksiv, vayiror Hashem elavro, ma sheinkem shora nivroim, שכבר קודמו ונשתקו האמונה בליבו מאברהם, והושרשו בקדושו, היו ניגלו להם תחימו. The second perspective of the Archive of Soward is that Avraham Avinu is dafka spoken to first by Hashem, and only afterwards is there a formal introduction, is there a revelation of what Hashem is all about, not so much to the credit of Avraham Avinu, but as a way of testing Avraham Avinu. No, it's one thing, you know, if God reveals Himself to you, and you have some kind of hakara, some kind of recognition of what Hashem is all about, and then Hashem asks you to do something, all right. So you know, the person is much more ready to acquiesce to that request. But here, it's almost as if Avraham Avinu, again, whatever it means that Hashem spoke to Avraham, we can't really, you know, understand the human terms what that means exactly, but Hashem made His will known to Avraham Avinu without Avraham Avinu even really understanding who Hashem was. So that's a tremendous Yisrael, this voice, or this force, which is intimating that I should go to Eretz itself, or not even Eretz itself, but some country, which I have no idea where the voice is going to lead me, the land which I'm going to show to you. And I don't even fully understand what this being is all about. It takes a tremendous amount of bitachon in the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, to kind of blindly walk, you know, in the to follow this voice when you don't even really have a true conception of who Hashem is. Had Hashem revealed some of His essence to Avraham Avinu, it would have been easier for him to follow. Now that it's kind of just a disembodied voice, the Nisayon is that much greater. Am I going to listen to this voice? Or am I just going to ignore it because I have no real sense of who this voice is and what it is that's sharing with me? Yes.
So why call it a Nisayon? Because if that's the case, maybe you have a perfect right not to listen. He doesn't know who it is.
But yeah, so you can ask the question then.
Why do you call it a Nisayon? The Nisayon implies that you chose right, that chose the way he did, he chose the right way.
Right.
But why wasn't necessarily the right way? Because he didn't know what Hashem was.
Right. You could answer that on Avraham Avinu. Why was it so necessary or so proper, you know, to listen to the voice that was guiding him? I mean, maybe, who knows what this voice is. Right. Apparently, again, according to the Archaim, apparently the voice identified itself. Again, I'm using the word voice because we don't really, you know, we can't really understand exactly what it means that Hashem spoke to him. But, you know, whatever that experience was where he was being spoken to, the voice identified itself as Hashem, Vayom Hashem El Avraham, right? It's just that Avraham Avinu didn't have a proper understanding of who Hashem was to be able to really say, I understand Hashem, and therefore I will follow the voice. The issue that was given to Avraham Avinu was emunah without full understanding. And indeed, when we talk about the authorities, the officers, not Avraham Avinu, the 10 trials of Avraham Avinu, the Lech Lecha is considered to be one of those trials. You know, the fact that he had to leave his homeland and go to Eretz Yisrael. According to the Aruch Chaim, the Nisayon of Lech Lecha essentially is following commandments without full understanding. Right? In other words, it's easy for a person to follow Hashem's will, you know, when we understand it, when we have a sense that we have an understanding where it's coming from. But to follow Hashem's will, when it's just, we're just told, look, this is what it says, this is what Hashem wants, this is what the Torah tells us to do, without really feeling that we have a full understanding of God, of the Torah, of why it is that this thing is in place, that's a tremendous concern. Those are chukim. And Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, in many ways, is the quintessential chuk, because it's demanding obedience from Avraham Avinu without full understanding on the part of Avraham Avinu. And that, so why text Avraham Avinu did Dafka with that? It's at the Aruch Chaim. Because Avraham Avinu is the first person in 10 generations who's really on a certain level of Kedusha. Right? And God wants to really get a sense of his mettle. He passes the test of the Aruch Chaim. Avraham Avinu was able to give this mito, this attribute, over to his children as a Yerusha, the ability to follow even when you don't really understand. And once that was in place, so for all future generations, the Ribbono Shel Olam was able to reveal himself first and then, you know, make demands or open up a conversation afterwards, after revealing some of himself. Otherwise, again, what the Aruch Chaim doesn't say, but I think it's implicit, is if Avraham Avinu was put to the test in this way, why wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu put to the test in this way? Right? Why not? Why does Moshe Rabbeinu get the benefit of having God reveal himself at the Sneh and only afterwards enter into a conversation with Moshe Rabbeinu? Again, the Aruch Chaim says that Yisod, the basic idea, which is echoed by later Mefarshim, Chaim Shmulevitz talks about this in his Sichot in a different context, that once Avraham Avinu brings this Midah into the world, so now that has already become part of the makeup of future generations, and the need to test for it is not really as acute as it was at the time of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu brings down this Midah to the world of the ability to be obedient without full understanding.
Once established,
yeah.
Avraham is having the divine word of the world. Why is this Messiah? That it's just God that people believe in, and more than anybody else in this world ever believed in God, and some of it is about God, who people are beside that, who's telling you that, why didn't I? Or is it, if I had someone who, rather, if I had someone who, for a human being, I want to do this.
This is a person to do that, a kid, a poster, a comic book, or a leader, or anybody who tells you to do something. Mm-hmm. It is a sign. Right. And I don't know who controls the world, and certainly that person or that time where construction, controlling them, you know, they have to be a follower. So, David, you want to try to address that question? I'm not saying
that he was able to figure out that there was a God, but he wasn't fully understanding of what God was, what his nature was, what was required of him.
Right.
And it's really whatever God asked you. God asked of you directly, then I don't think it's going to be sentenced.
Right. It might be, again, you know, so the question is, just for a listening audience, the question is, from the Chashver person in the back row, one of the two Chashver people in the back row, the question is, you know, if Avraham Avinu really has come to this belief in God, it shouldn't be an Isaiah, you know, to listen to whatever God wants you to do. I think... Right. I think besides that, you know, the fact that even when we know things are right, you know, there's still this Yavah. But I think to some extent, maybe your very question is the proof of the Aruch Chaim. What do I mean by that? The Aruch Chaim says that Avraham Avinu took this mitzvah of obedience even without understanding, and he gave it over to his children. Right? That's what he writes. You know, Shaihan Ibrahim, Shikai Kodma, Vinishtakohem, one of the Libame Avram, the Hushvishul Viksusha. Avram Avinu passed this Mida on to the generations afterwards. So here we, well, either not the Vinishma, or, you know, not the Vinishma, right, is the prime example, or the readiness to do without full understanding. I think that's what informs your very question. Avraham Avinu did such a good job passing on this Midah to the future generations that you can't even be toxic that it was the Messiah, right? But I think for an Avraham Avinu, that was before Avraham Avinu became Avraham Avinu, that was before, when Avraham Avinu was still wrestling with this, I think, you know, one could say, look, he knows that there is a God, like David said. But still, you know, this God for him is an abstraction. All of a sudden, boom, out of the darkness comes this voice which identifies itself as God and tells him to pick up and move to a country where, you know, I'm not going to tell you where the country is, I'll just show you where it is. And then, you know, fade screen to black, you know, and the voice is gone. If I'm a verbal leader, I probably want to know, wait, I need to understand more before I can just go off on this wild goose chase. I think that would be a very natural reaction, even for someone on the mind, even if to someone who had understood that there was such a thing as a God.
Once Avram is satisfied, that he's from Avram to Europe, he has to go another
I think still, you know, what the Archon is bringing out is that, you know, a person under those circumstances would still want to know more. Again, I think you picked up the meter from Avraham Avinu, confidently. Yeah,
I'm just wondering if Avraham, recognizing that there is a God, a higher being, did he actually hear a voice, or was a voice in his mind, and then nevertheless, even though he heard it maybe just in his mind, but he had such the top of the Buddha, blind Buddha, that answer was what he accepted it. Then by Yarashayla, then Rabbi Shalom revealed himself.
So a number of years ago I heard of Shach, the shame of Shach, the Chassadic Lidracha, which I wasn't well to see inside, but Shach develops, from what I understand, he develops the idea over here in Lefkocha, again, perhaps based on this idea of the Arachayim. Exactly that. A voice appears to Avraham Avinu. I mean, we don't really understand what this voice was all about. Again, in the comic books, you know, if you'd have a little balloon, you know, with the arrow pointing up to Shammai, okay, it comes from God. But Avraham Avinu, he doesn't know how to trace this voice. He doesn't understand this voice. Part of the Zion was believing that it was actually God and not, gee, that was a funny dream, you know, or something like that. And, you know, again, that would fit in with the Arachayim. It's one thing to recognize the voice once you have a relationship with God. Yeah, the voice comes out of the blue, so that's a much bigger Messiah to believe that it is God who's talking to us, which would answer your question as well.
No, I just want to say, going through what you're saying, you get the feeling that, you know, Avraham figured out the Arab Hashem because he wanted to know the truth, and he wanted to do what was right, but he didn't have a Rebbe, he didn't have a machine, he didn't have a Rebbe.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, his father wasn't in the Hashem, so he didn't have his brother.
Right.
So, to him, it was a kind of a completely grand matter of thinking that we can understand because we learn about Hashem at such a young age.
Right. So that's the element of the Nisoya. Yeah.
Which is greater? Is it Avraham Avinu, we know he was at a very high level of Kedusha, but was it his Bechira in recognizing history will that he recognized God, or was God so great that anybody at that level, was God's presence so great that it was like, you know, an obvious step for Avraham Avinu to make? Or was it that Avraham Avinu had to exercise his free will and say, okay, look, I feel this presence, this voice, this force, this, and therefore, even though I feel all that, I it's my free will to take the step to recognize God and to listen to God.
So I think he definitely had free will, although he wasn't coerced into it. You know, it definitely speaks to the greatness of Avraham Avinu that, you know, the whole rest of the world saw what he saw and experienced everything that he experienced, and somehow it was only Abramovino walked away from all that and said, oh, there is a God. Right? So that's part of the Godless, the greatness of Abramovino. Everybody saw it, you know, but one person walked away and said that there must be a God over here, and that was, you know, testimony to his greatness. Again, you know, later on, we see Moshe Rabbeinu by the Tzneh is first contacted by God, and God reveals himself to Moshe Rabbeinu and only afterwards speaks to him. That's because Avraham Avinu has already brought that Mida into the world, you know, through responding positively to this Nisayim. The Derech HaMaskil Divrei Avos Seinu Zal. Right, the last thing that I'm saying, says the Archaim, namely that Avraham Avinu was being subject to a test in that he was first just spoken to by God, and only afterwards did God reveal himself to him. The notion that that's part of the test of Avraham Avinu, that fits in with the Medrash of Chazal and Bereishis Rabbah. Shemidu Pasuk, Shimi Bat Uri'i, Avraham Avinu. Right? The Pasuk of Tehillim, listen, O daughter, and then see. So Chazal say that's a reference to Avraham Avinu. Betchilo Shimi, so who omro vayomer Hashem el Avram v'gomer, the achakach niglo elov vayera v'gomer, for who omro uri'i. Right? The Pasuk of Tehillim refers to Avram Avinu as shimi bas uri'i. Listen, O daughter, and see. And says the Arachayim, that actually very accurately depicts the order in which Avram Avinu was exposed to God. First shmiya, hearing, and then ri'iya, seeing. You know, it's only after he heard the word of God was he then able to actually see, so to speak, you know, to come to have God revealed to him, to have a greater understanding of God, you know, later on. So lo ha'yishneim shmir here ka'achas. And the pasuk, you know, indicates that the two did not happen at once. Ela behefsek beinayim. There was a, you know, there was an interlude, there was a hiatus between God, you know, the initial speaking to Avraham Avinu, and then God revealing himself to Avraham Avinu. That's why the two verbs in the pasuk are not next to one another. Behefsek ben shimi uri'i, but rather shimi bas kama uri'i. You know, that there's a little bit of an interruption in the process between the listening and the seeing, because that accurately describes the downtime which existed for Avraham Avinu as well, between hearing the word of God and actually, you know, dealing with God in a direct fashion. Right? So again, these two pshatim, the Arachayim, you know, bring out the unusual nature of Avraham Avinu being spoken to by God before having any real direct contact with God beforehand, that either speaks to the greatness of Avraham Avinu or to the Nisayim to which Avraham Avinu was being subjected, and, you know, that he passed with flying colors. Let's take a look at page I in text, just the... Just take a look on page I in test, which really follows up very, very nicely from, you know, from this first piece. When we turn to Pasuk Zayin, at the bottom of the page on I in test, Vayera Hashem al Avram, right, Terekit based Pasuk Zayin. Now, so Tak Avram Avinu comes there to Israel, and God reveals himself to Avram there. Vayera Hashem al Avram. God reveals himself to Avram and Eretz Yisrael, and he says, I will give this land to your seed, to your children. So then Avram Avinu builds a mizbeach, Lashem hanira elov, right, to, you know, to the God who appeared to him. Right? Now, Rashi says, why did he build a mizbeach? So Rashi writes, Vayivan Shom mizbeach, Al Bisara Tazera, the Al Bisara Eretz Yisrael. That Avraham Avinu at that point in time was blessed with two pieces of good news. God says, I will give this land to your children. So that implies two brachos. First of all, I'll get Eretz Yisrael. Second of all, I'll have children. Right? Again, Avraham Avinu at that point in time thinks that he's not going to have children, that he's incapable of having children, that his wife Sarai is incapable of having children. So there are two Besuras Tovos, there are two good tidings that Avraham Avinu gets at this point. So says Rashi, again, based on Chazan, Reishis Rabba, that you know, that Avraham Avinu builds the Mizbeach to celebrate these two besuras. Now, the Arhaim says something which is very different from this. In fact, one might add it's even actually against what Chazal say in Bereishis Rabbah, and we'll, when we finish discussing the Arhaim, we'll talk about how he had the right to do that, you know, to say something that seems on the surface to directly contradict what Chazal is saying in Bereishis Rabbah, that's what's being quoted, which is being quoted by Rashi. The Arhaim is bothered by the last three words in the Pasuk. He built a Mizbeach to God who had appeared to him. As opposed to what? He built there a Mizbeach. He wasn't building a Mizbeach to the Mets. I mean, he wasn't building a Mizbeach to some other God, Cholila. He built a Mizbeach to God who had appeared to him. Okay, yeah, what do those last three words add? So right there, Arhaim Nusralis, Kavaras HaKotuf, Rahudiya HaFlog HaFribas Avram Bekona. This pasuk is teaching us how much Avraham Avinu loved God. Ki Hashem niglo elof u bitzro bizvera uvinasinas ha'aretz. God comes to him and he says, guess what, Avraham Avinu? You're going to have kids. And guess what, Avraham Avinu? You're going to inherit Eretz Yisrael. V'hu lo hechshiv besuras beis ma'ilus tovos l'klum. And these two wonderful pieces of good news meant nothing, relatively speaking, to Avraham Avinu. You know what made Avraham Avinu jump for joy? Wow, God revealed himself to me. That's what makes Avraham Avinu jump for joy. Oh yeah, by the way, when he came to me, he also told me, when he revealed himself to me, he also told me that I'm going to have kids, I'm going to inherit Eretz Yisrael. That's nice. But you know what's awesome? God revealed himself to me. Now this, by the way, this interpretation of the pasuk is consistent with what the Arhaim said before, that by Yeroi Lo Hashem over here doesn't just mean, you know, yeah, God came and he spoke to him, but by Yeroi Lo Hashem is the first time after having had a conversation with God. This is the first time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually, you know, gives over to Avraham Avinu some understanding of what he's all about. This is the first revelation of God that Avraham Avinu has had, even though he's been in communication with God before. So you can understand why, according to the Arachayim, the notion that God reveals himself to Avraham Avinu has Avraham Avinu jumping for joy. Up till now, it's just been this voice in the darkness, and now all of a sudden, wow! You know, again, whatever it means that he saw God by Yirai Lav Hashem, you know, obviously it doesn't mean in a totally literal sense, but his understanding of who God is was enhanced tremendously at this point in time. So Avraham Avinu was jumping up and down, and he's so happy that it doesn't even really, okay, the fact that you promised me wonderful things is secondary. What I'm really happy about is the fact that you revealed yourself to me. L'kayim ha'shenema, sovach smachos etzponecho. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, the fullness of simcha is your face, Hashem. When do I become satisfied and satiated with simcha? Etzponecho. When I'm able to see your face. V'hu omro, v'yiven shom yisbeach, v'ashem hanira elof. That's Pshat in the way three words in the Pasuk says, the Arachayim. That Avraham Avinu built a Mizbeach to God who had appeared to him. Tan Pirish Tzibas Simchoso Asher Allah Bono Mizbeach Hu Vesad Hirol So Yisbarach Elof. Right? Why did he build the Mizbeach? He built the Mizbeach Lashem Anira Elof. He built the Mizbeach to celebrate the fact that God had revealed himself to him. The fact that God had given him these Besuros Tovos was really secondary to Avraham Avinu and paled in comparison to the fact that he had this encounter with God. Right? Now, it's a very fascinating way of interpreting the pasuk, and the truth is, in terms of pasuk pshat, it works very nicely. Not that he built the Mizbeach to worship God, because, of course, what else was he doing to Mizbeach? He built the Mizbeach, you know, because of the fact that there had been a revelation of God, as opposed to the wonderful tidings which he received at that point. Now, Pashtos, that is totally against what Rashi quotes from Bereishis Rabbah. I mean, Lechara, it's not just, it's a different way of looking at it. It's not just, well, that's another way of looking at it. It's the opposite way of looking at it, right? Now, Rashi writes that Fa'idin Shom Mizbeach al Besorah Tazerah v'al Besorah Tazerah Tisrael. The reason he built the Mizbeach was for exactly the two reasons that the Arhaim says paled in comparison to Avraham Avinu when building the Mizbeach and having in mind that, wow, Hashem appeared to me. How do you reconcile that? So I think the simple answer is, you don't have to reconcile it. Because the Archai himself writes, in the beginning of Parshas Reishis, that when it comes to interpreting Psukim, we have the right to interpret the Psukim as we understand them, even if Chazal and their Midrashim may say otherwise. That's the... I'm not sure if Ein Meshivin Al Hadrush just simply means whatever you darshan whatever you darshan is fine, right? If you take a look at page A, again, it's a worthwhile Aruch Chaim just for its own right, because it applies to so many things. Page Hay in the Aruch Chaim, you're not going to find them in the Kodesh Gadolah so easily, but Page Hay in the Aruch Chaim, the left-hand column, the first new paragraph begins, Da, you should know, Ki Rishus Lanu Nisuna Lefarish Mashmos HaKsuvim, Dinesivos Ho'iyun V'yishuv Hadas, we have permission to explain the Psukim through an analysis and, you know, thinking about them carefully. Even if the earlier commentaries, and you know, in context over here, if you look in context, he's not just talking about other, you know, Rishonim or whatnot. He's talking about Chazal. I mean, the earlier paragraphs talk about Chazal said this pshat, but I'm saying this pshat. It's very clear that Rishonim over here doesn't just mean, you know, earlier Mefarshim, but it means Chazal himself. Even if the earlier sources, like Chazal, came before us, the Yishuv Ba'ofer Acher, and explained the Psukim differently, we have the right to interpret Chumash as we see as being the correct interpretation. Kishivim Ponim Batara, the Torah can be explained in 70 different ways. The only time that we're bound to the interpretations of the Rishonim, again, by Rishonim here he means Chazal, is with regard to those things which have halachic consequences, right? In other words, Chazal say, for Totafos Beinecha means put on tefillin. We don't have the right to come along and say, oh, Totafos means, I don't know, you know, electrodes, you know, that you should put between your eyes, right? Chazal gives a halachic interpretation of Psukim. We are bound by that halacha, even if we think that maybe I could read the Pasuk in a different way. But, if it's not a halachic issue, we can interpret the Psukim as we understand them as saying. Let's just see the end of the paragraph, the short paragraph. V'lozetim sosha ha'amoroim. That's what we find in Shas, that the Amoraim, as we know, are not allowed, the sages of the Talmud are not allowed to argue on the sages of the Mishnah in Halacha. If a Tana says X, an Amora can't say Y unless he has the Tana to support it. But if you look at the Agadic portions of Shas, where Chazal are interpreting Psukim, we often find that a Tana will say that a Pasuk means X, and a Mora comes along and say, no, the Pasuk means Y, and that doesn't bother anybody, says the Aruch Chaim. So in other words, when it comes to non-halachic matters, later generations have the ability to interpret Psukim, again, hopefully not in a crazy way, but the way in which they think is appropriate, even if it explicitly goes against, you know, the way Chazal happened to interpret a pasuk.
Like
So it's a very good question. So I'll just repeat the question. So let's say you're not changing the halacha,
but do have a way of deriving a halacha from a pasuk, which is not the source quoted by Chazal. Right? So I think we see examples where that is perfectly legitimate. I'll give you a few not specific examples, but general approaches. One of the questions that's asked by many Mefarshim in many places on the Rambam is that the Rambam in Mishnah Torah often quotes a pasuk as a source for halacha, when the Gemara actually quotes a different pasuk as a source for that same halacha. And one of the yeshuvim, and one of the answers that's given by Achronim, as a kind of general rule, is that, you know, the Rambam, exactly what you're bringing out, the Rambam obviously is bound by the halachos as you know, presented by Chazal, but at the same time, the Rambam is not bound by the specific interpretations of Pesukim as presented by Chazal, and oftentimes the Rambam may think that the same halacha may be traced more easily or more readily to Pesuk A, even though Chazal traced it or learned it out from Pesuk B, so the Rambam has the right to quote Pesuk A in his Mishnah Torah, even though that's quote unquote not the source that Chazal necessarily used. Right? Yeah, well, the truth is, though, I mean, if you remember from our Lima of Meshach Chasma, we see Meshach Chasma does this in many places, where he finds remodim in Pesukim to drush to ideas that Chazal bring out later on, where Chazal didn't necessarily, you know, relate it to a particular pasuk. So, you know, that all seems to be in line with the yisod that the Arachaim is putting down over here. You know, if it's not, if it doesn't change the halacha, it's just a question of tracing back the halacha. You know, so then we too have the right to be able to, you know, connect the halacha to a different pasuk, even if Chazal didn't do that explicitly, or they even quoted another pasuk as being the source for this idea.
So let me
just refine the Arachaim a little bit. I don't think the Arachaim is saying that it was wrong, that it would have been wrong for Avraham Avinu to build the Mizbeach as thanks for the Zera or thanks for Eretz Yisrael. Right? He's just saying, in practice, what motivated Avraham Avinu to build the Mizbeach was not these things which were personal Besurot. What motivated Avraham Avinu to build the Mizbeach was the experience he had of encountering God. Now, again, pre-Beit HaMikdash, or pre-Shiva, you can build a Mizbeach for whatever reason you want, right? I mean, assuming it's a healthy, a normal reason to build a Mizbeach, right? So that, I don't think you're kind of saying that it would have been wrong for Avraham Avinu to build a Mizbeach. He's complimenting Avraham Avinu. Look at what moves Avraham Avinu and makes him feel that he wants to build a Mizbeach. Kids, Eretz Yisrael, but God, wow. That's something. Now I'm going to build a Mizbeach over. Right? And, you know, again, I don't think it's a question of utter and mutter. It's just a question of what gets them wound up, you know, so to speak.
Is, Avraham Avinu's path from his birthplace to Eretz Yisrael, is that known in Eretz Yisrael?
To some extent, I mean, the
book is where he was made to open his bed up and stuff, and
right.
Did
you visit
that spot?
Yeah, so, I mean, the book says, Vayavra Avra Ba'aretz Amakom Shechem. He goes to Shechem. I would not recommend visiting Shechem nowadays, unfortunately, but, you know, that's where Avraham Avinu went. At Elon Moreh, there is a modern day yeshuv in Eretz Yisrael called Elon Moreh, which is not far from Shechem, which unfortunately today is called Nablus. Right, so I mean it's all there. You're down to Shomron, you can go. I mean, I don't know if we know the exact place that Avraham Avinu built in his bay, but we know the region. You know, we know the general area. So that's, you know, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you see our roots. You know, these places are still places today. Yes.
Did Avraham
born like
to a certain extent
mentally
privileged?
I don't think we
and
believe
that. And he is intact. Because he's so naturally good that he needed tech just to develop his
I don't think we believe that Avraham Avinu was born innately good. I mean, I think like anyone else, we believe that he you know, had extraordinary gifts, but that he used those gifts to achieve. Well, we all have gifts, you know. Right, right. He had gifts, but he also had temptations, and, you know, he used the gifts that he had, you know, with his Zechir Chashis, to become the person that he became. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Teshuva that everybody has to believe that you have the ability to be Moshe Rabbeinu. Doesn't doubt about Avraham Avinu, but everybody has the ability to be Moshe Rabbeinu if they're so inclined, you know. That's something that's basic to our belief. Otherwise, if we believe that people are predisposed, you know, that a person is kind of naturally good and naturally bad.
He didn't have the fear,
yeah.
But he had.
No, he predisposed. He had a predisposition.
To certain things that were greater than other people, that people from his generation were born, let's say, in his time. And they weren't taught about the Moshe Rabbeinu.
Again, I think, you know, the Rambam lays out a Hilchos Teshuva. He says the person has to believe that every person can be a Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? So that doesn't mean every person's got to be a Moshe Rabbeinu, right? But we all have tremendous potential. That's, you know. So it sounds like some other person in that generation could have been Avraham Avinu had he just been so inclined. Right? I had a very beautiful voice from my Rebbe, Meir Twitsky, a number of years ago. So I think maybe I've mentioned it in different contexts, but it's a very powerful voice. So the Gemara in Tainus tells the story of two Talmidei Chacham and Rabbi Yochanan and Ilfa, who were sitting and learning in Beit Midrash, and there was more a month left over at the end of the money. You know, after a number of months, and they decided that, okay, it's time to leave the Beit Midrash and go into business. So they leave the Beit Midrash, and while they're on the way, you know, back to the city to engage in business, they stop off to have lunch underneath the bridge, and all of a sudden, Rabbi Yochanan hears Malachim talking to one another. And one Malach says to the other Malach, look at these people. They're leaving the beautiful world with the Medrash. They're going out. They're abandoning Torah. What do you say? Should we collapse this bridge on them and kill them right here and now? So the other Malach says, no, no, spare them. One of them could be a Gadol HaDor. So, Rabbi Yochanan turns to Ilfa and says, did you hear that? Ilfa says, did I hear what? Rabbi Yochanan says, oh. So he says to himself, oh, I guess they're talking about me, because obviously I heard it. So he goes back to the Beit Midrash, she becomes Rabbi Yochanan, whose name is, you know, on every other Daf Gemara, and Ilfa goes out to business, and, you know, Ilfa's name is not on every other page of Gemara, let's just put it that way, right? The Gemara makes it very, very clear later on in the story that Ilfa himself was an unbelievable Talmud Chacham. You know, somebody, Ilfa said, I challenge you, tell me any brayta, I'll find you where it's referenced in Mishnayos, where the idea of the brayta can be derived from Mishnayos. And, you know, he passed the test. People put him to the test, and he passed it. That was after he left the Beit Midrash. So every place he asked the question, so, you know, it's not really fair, right? And so, you know, maybe it's, Ilfa would have heard the Malachim, he also would have gone back to the Beit Midrash. You know, you stack the deck, the Malachim spoke in such a way that Rabbi Yochanan heard them, and that's why he went back to the Beit Midrash. Ilfa didn't hear the Malachim, that's why he didn't go back to the Beit Midrash. So isn't that fair? I mean, you stack the deck and say to Rabbi Yochanan. So the Twitsky explained, I think it's just a beautiful book. The Malachim were speaking in such a way that either party could have heard them. Rabbi Yochanan chose to listen. Right? Rabbi Yochanan listened to the Malachim. He was attuned to Malachim. He was looking for the Malachim. So when the Malachim spoke, Rabbi Yochanan's ears picked up on that. Ilfa had already made up his mind that he was going out to business. You know, he was leaving the Beit Midrash. If you're not listening for the Malachim, you won't hear them when they speak. That's the same for us with Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu saw what he saw in the world because he was already attuned and looking for the presence of Hashem in this world. Everybody else saw the same thing, right? So to speak, Ilfa, had he just listened a little bit harder, would have heard the Malachim also, right? Rabbi Yochanan was tuned in to Malachim speaking. He was looking for those messages in life. So Rabbi Yochanan, you know, heard the messages that he was ultimately looking for. It's a powerful lesson, you know, in life in general, right? Sent the Arachayim, we're not done with the Arachayim yet. So the Arachayim says differently than Rashi, you know, and ultimately Chazal is gracious rather, but as we said before, the Arachayim himself told us, that doesn't bother me. I'm okay saying Shach and Apostle differently than the way Chazal did.
Right? Not a contradiction. Then he goes on to say that this mitzvah of Avraham Avinu, again, like we said before, also plays itself out in Avraham Avinu's descendants. Just like Avraham Avinu created for his descendants the ability to be obedient without full understanding, like we saw before, Avraham Avinu also gave over this mitzvah of love of God, even at the expense of love of children and love of Eretz Yisrael. He gave over this mitzvah to his children as well. The Ze'os Levanos. This is a sign. What Avraham Avinu did was a sign for his future children. Kamo Mehem, because there are numerous people in Klal Yisrael, Asher Hirchiku Cheshek Azera, the Ere Cheshek Hatara Ba'amitzvos. Because there are people in life, Jews, descendants of Avraham Avinu, who when faced with the choice, should I love God or should I have children? They choose the love of God over children. What does that mean? Say Ben Azai. Right? He quotes the example of Ben Azai, who did not get married, did not have children, when the other Chachamim came over to Ben Azai and said, no, there's a mitzvah here, you're there, you still have children, bring a family into the world. So Ben Azai said back to them, the Tanoso, Umar Esav, and Ashi Choshko Batara, what do you want from me? I don't want the burden of a family because I want to be involved in Torah study. Why is that legitimate? You know, why is it legitimate to set aside the mitzvah period of Israel because you want to sit and learn? Yeah, but God says, prove them and let's all it. Right? So says the Arachayim, then as I got it from Avraham Avinu. Right? From this incident, Avraham Avinu was told, you're going to have children. Avraham Avinu says, yeah, children, great. But you know what I really love? You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm after all the right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we love you. Right? Children, great, fine, wonderful. You know, family, very, very nice. But I love you, God. Hashem, I hear a love. He built the Mizbeach on the occasion of being able to communicate with God, and the notion that he will have children pales in comparison to that sense that he has at that particular time. Right? So the whole, the Ben Azai model, says the Arachayim HaKadosh, ultimately can be traced back to Avraham Avinu's reaction at the very, very beginning over here of Pashas Lech Lecha.
Not only be true, learning it, it's true, but can we say that one mitzvah of Avraham Avinu, that why was he worthy to be this person who was the first person who communicated with Hashem and identified or recognized Hashem? I'm asking myself the question, I'm coming up with an answer, I'm proposing that, his love of fellow man, which predated his love of God, which made him worthy, in other words, that made him worthy to have his love of God, I'm wondering.
It may be. Although, by the way, we don't really find anything in pre-Lech Lecha that really focuses on Avraham Avinu's Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, right? In other words, we'll see later on that he argues for Sodom and Amora, and he brings in the guests and everything like that. But, you know, that element of Avraham Avinu's personality, we don't really see so much in the Chumash prior to God's revelation to him. Right. No, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that it's not there, but it's certainly not made explicit in the Chumash. Right, also, right? In other words, even if we say that the chesed is there, the chesed is related to his love for God and not just as a kind of independent love for mankind, I think you are kind of bringing out, you know, you can love mankind, that's a very nice thing, but, you know, the choice that Ben Azai made was, I can't burden myself, so to speak, with a family, because a family will take away from my ability to love Torah. Now, obviously, that's not the mainstream approach in Yiddishkeit. Obviously, in a mainstream approach, people are supposed to get married and have children, you know, and there's a notion, again, part of the idea of building a family, the idea of chesed, you know, that a person is supposed to show chesed to his family. Like, okay, all of that is good, but Abba is clearly the exception to the rule and not the rule. Having said that, it's not a totally foreign paradigm, you know, where a person could say, oh, there is no concept in Yiddishkeit of a person giving up the idea of having a family in order to be so involved in Liman HaTorah, right? There is a concept like that. Now, is that for the average person? No, it's not for the average person, but there's a concept out there. It's not a totally foreign concept.
Well, what do we say is the need that made Avraham Avinu worthy to be Avraham Avinu?
I think, again, based on what at least the Or Chaim's possible answer, the fact that he searched and found God. You know, in a world where God was not recognized, you know, the incredible effort that it took to go out there and search and find God, you know, and share his knowledge of God with others. Right? Chazal tells us that Avraham Avinu was going out there, you know, converting people to his belief in monotheism. Right. By the way, the Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Chacham is an unbelievable thing. How many students did Avraham Avinu have? Right. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodas Chacham from the very beginning, thousands and tens of thousands. It's unbelievable enrollment. Right. I mean, Yeshiva University, we're dreaming of that kind of enrollment. You know. I mean, I know where we put everybody. Right. You have thousands and tens of thousands of Talmidim, the Rambam writes, and apparently. I'm not going to repeat that for the folks in Hawaii who tell us. What's that? And apparently, they all dropped out. I guess when there's no tuition, you know, easy come, easy go. So, I mean, it's astounding. I mean, you know, as an Ephesian of the Bukhara, you have this kind of picture, you know, Avraham Avinu and, you know, the six guys at the Or HaChaim Shir, you know, that's kind of what it was like. No, you know, he had thousands and tens of thousands. When Avraham Avinu gave Shir, you know, they were piping in the Shir, you know, the, you know, 20 different locations. They were all, you know, filled up. You know, with guys that were listening, right? Right? And apparently they all went off. They all left because what happened to them, right? You can build thousands and tens of thousands of Talmidim, but it's no guarantee of anything, right? That's right at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. You know, the Torah teaches us that nothing in life is for sure. Well, you need children to get descendants. Right. Well, Lazaracha Nafatius Aris Hazos can't be referring to Ishmael because the promise of Aris Hazos goes to Yitzchak. He be Yitzchak, he carried the Chazara. Right? Through Yitzchak and not even all of Yitzchak, right? Big Yitzchak, part of Yitzchak. In other words, Yitzchak through Yaakov, Yikari Lechazar, that's what's called Bera. So in other words, Zaracha in this context means the line of Avraham Avinu, which is the Jewish people, ultimately. Yeah. Let's try to do... What's that? Yeah. That's right. I'll give a short thought from the Or HaChaim. If you look on page Pei Ches, which is Perek Ches Vav, Pasuk Vav, again the same discussion back in the beginning of Perek Ches Vav. So Achara Dvarim Ha'Ela Hoyez VaHashem LaAbrav Machzor LeMar. Right, Hashem appears to Avraham Avinu, and he says, Altira Avraham, don't be afraid, Avraham. But says Avraham, Hashem Elokim Atite Livanoki Olei Hariri, I don't have any kids. To get back to that issue of kids, Avraham Avinu is concerned about kids. He's not, you know, altogether just ignoring the fact that he doesn't seem capable of having children. What's going to be with my children? Hainli Malona Fasa Zora. So God takes them outside, he shows them the stars in the heavens, And he says, the same way you can't count the stars, Kali Yezareha, your children will be numerous as the stars, the Hemin Bashem, and God, and Adam Avinu had trusted in God, he had trusted in God, Vayashadeha Lot Stoka, and he reckoned it to him as Stoka. Now those last three words are hard to translate. So Rashi writes, Vayashadeha Lot Stoka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Koshva, the Avram, with Kut, with Stoka, Alamun Hashem, and Ba. Vayashadeha Lot, God considered it for him, for Avram, right? One thing which is ambiguous in the thought, because who considered for whom, right? Who's the subject, who's the object? So Rashi writes, God considered Avram Avinu's faith as stoka, as a source of zchus, of merit for Avram Avinu. Right? That's the way Rashi interprets the thought, because the English, the art scroll says, and he, capital H, God, reckoned it to him, lowercase h, Avram, as righteousness, right? It was to the credit of Avram Avinu that he believed without really having any, you know, anything other than God's word, God's guarantee that God, that he was going to have children. So Arachayim gives a different shot. So the Arachayim, the two shots in the Arachayim, but we'll do the first one for tonight. The bottom of page Peches, the bottom left. Arim Hashem Yachshavel Lo Tzoka. Hirush. The way to understand this pasuk is with a halachic statement. Al derech Omer Zal Ki Gid Atzoka Ki Nedorim Shanod LeGavok Kenot LeHedi. Chazal say that when it comes to tzoka, promising tzoka is as if you gave it already. Right. In other words, if a person says, the person pledges, so that's as if. You know, you're bound by your pledge. You can't back out. If I pledge, you know, not to stalker, let's say I promise a human being, oh, I'll give you $20 as a gift, right? And then I don't follow through. So, you know, on the one hand, I'm wrong to not follow through on what I promised to you. It's what's called mechutrei amana, and it's a certain lack of trustworthiness, you know, that I'm not following through on my word, but I can't be held accountable in a court for that. No, it's not as if I'm stealing from you. It's not as if I handed you a $20 bill and then I ripped it out of your hand. I promised I'd give you $20. Now, on the basis of that promise, can you haul me into court and collect $20 from me? No, because it's words. I mean, it's not right that I'm breaking my word, but at the end of the day, it's words. Stalker is more than that. Stalker, if I make a pledge to stalker, I actually am absolutely obligated to give that stalker. It's as if I already gave it to the stalker, and if I fail to make good on my pledge, it's as if I'm stealing out of the hands of the stalker. So when it comes to stalker, pledging is the halakhic equivalent of having already given. So Husha Omar Jehemin Bashem. That's what the prophet says, that Avraham Avinu trusted in Hashem. Pirush Hizkin is Bohab Rachel. So it was as if Avraham Avinu had already gotten it. Vim Tomar, Halo Adayim Lo Higiyo Li Yodo Lehafkido B'Yademon. Right? And if you say, how did Avraham Avinu have so much trust in Hashem? Vodeh Omar V'yachshaveh Halo Tztok O'Pirush Hechshiv Avraham Masha Omar Hashem Eilov Shehu Tztok V'yachshaveh Halo Tztok. He reckoned it as Tztok. That's the Arachayim means. Not that Hashem reckoned it to Avraham Avinu as if it was Tztok. Avraham Avinu treated God's promise as if it was tzaka, the same way that with tzaka, a pledge is as good as done. Avraham Avinu said, when God pledges, I have the money in hand. It's as if I'd gotten it already. The kevon shekein din mesira yeshla, ve'hemina b'yad Hashem. Avraham Avinu, so to speak, felt comfortable, you know, with the fact that God was going to deliver on his pledge by Yachshaveh Halo Tztaka, the same way that when we pledge Tztaka, we are forced by Halacha to make good on it, so too, when God makes a pledge such as this to Avraham Avinu says, okay, it's money in the bank, because I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make good on his pledges. Yeah. That's what he quotes from Rosh Hashanah. Din HaTzaka Kinedorim. Now, Tzaka is compared to Nedorim, meaning being makdish something for dedekabayis or the like, shanoder lagavoa. If you makdish something for dedekabayis, it's as if to mesirat lehegid. It's the equivalent of actually giving it to a regular human being. Stuffa is compared to nidre hekel.
Even if you don't make a nidre, if you just
yeah, right, even without a nether.
Right.
Because
individual, if you
know
there,
right.
You have to
right. You've got to follow through.
Just like you took the pledge.
Right, even the pledge is
Machayat. That is considered
is Machayat. Yeah, it's Machayat the person. So, you know, that's
it.
So, right, so sometimes we say shenod din l'stuck, hopefully neder, but the lashon by many of the mullahs, you know, to avoid getting caught in that problem where the person basically just says, okay, you know, question, does it really work? I guess it knocks down the promise on just, you know, a little bit. I'm not really promising the stuck, I'm thinking of giving it to stuck. Right.
Because even if you know, you have to show it for 40 words.
You mean a nether that I'm going to give?
A nether, make a nether, I'm going to give somebody $100. I have to give it to
him if I do it, I mean,
a nether.
I hear. So, I hear that. I'm not sure if Sam has to get back to you. No, I think we do hold that we nether does do something. It minimizes the degree of the hischayvut, but I might be wrong on that. I'll have to get back to that, Hashem. But certainly there is a certain hischayvut that takes place with the pledge to tzedaka, which is ke'ilu, it was signed, sealed, and delivered. So Avraham Avinu has the same confidence in Hashem, ke'ilu the pledge to tzedaka was given. Okay, that Hashem will pick up next week with Pasha Sayera, and we'll see you next.